This will be controversial.
Sleep training?
Never did.
We're going to talk about sleep training.
We're going to talk about sleep training. Yeah, the breastfeeding piece was something that was really, really difficult for me. And then when it was clear it wasn't working, I was like, okay, you know, I tried combo feeding. I was doing triple feeding at one point, which is like pumping, breastfeeding, and bottle feeding, usually formula for the triple part. And I was trying. And I can get into all of the emotional things beyond that of just feeling like, why isn't this working? Why is my body not doing what my body's supposed to do? And everything else. But then you are bombarded with all of the people who are like, this is the best thing you could ever do for your kid. If they're not getting breast milk, they'll be doomed to, you know, a cursed life. And then the piece around, you'll have people who say like, oh, there's no such thing as low supply, which is ultimately what I had. I had low supply.
Is there not?
There's no such thing as low.
People say that?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. People will say that. And what they'll say is, oh, that's just a lie from the big formula companies because formula is pushed on you in the hospital. And I will take a breath and just say, I wish formula had been pushed on me in the hospital instead of me like sitting there with what looked like two like siphons attached to my boobs, like half crying every 2 hours through the night while my kid is down in the NICU.
Why were you crying besides being like sleep deprived among everything else? Was it the supply or was it painful?
At first it was painful. And I will say that, so we also ultimately want two kids. And the number one thing that scares me the most about having a second kid isn't specifically the breastfeeding part. I feel more confident that I can just make the choice that I want to make. But is just that entire postpartum experience. It was like the stupid, I couldn't find the right size flange. Like in and it was like, I'd order one flange and like, oh, now that one's too small. Now this one's too big. Now this is, and you go back and forth. And then it's like every piece of advice that you read is like, you should be eating oatmeal. You should try fenugreek. Oh no, too much fenugreek can actually lower your supply.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Take this tincture, do this thing. And so it was, and it was that thing of like, I didn't have a baby to take home straight away because my kid was in the NICU. And so it was like, I would just go home all alone because this is in the middle of COVID. So my partner and I have to take shifts because we can't go in at the same time.
When you gave birth.
It was just nonstop. And it was that feeling of like, I'm home alone. I feel, and I don't know if there's any science behind this, but it's like my body knew something was wrong that my baby wasn't physically with me. And it was almost this constant feeling of like, it's almost like your brain is going, hey, you left something somewhere. And you're like, yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah.
I know it's an entire baby. And so, yeah, I think it was all of it.
Film them crying, and then you play that at 2 a.m., you know, to get that milk rolling out, because I was the same as you, home alone every night actually, Bobo was with me, but, yeah, also pumping to try and keep the supply up while the kids were in the NICU.
And I know we have not officially established a swearing policy, but I think this warrants it. Did absolutely fuck all. And I could tell it was doing fuck all. What did help was, like, binging The Crown while trying to pump. Or just like having something that took my mind off.
You know what helped for me? Gatorade.
Ooh, the hydration.
I tried Gatorade.
Didn't work?
Gatorade didn't work. No. You name it, I tried it.
It just shows that everyone's so different. Yeah,
but I had a very similar breastfeeding experience too. I think it took me, I don't know, 5 or 6 months before I felt like confident to not like do the double feeding or whatever you call it. But we just weaned last week. And I thought I'd have more feelings about it. Like I thought I'd be more sad about it, but it's fine. He's fine. Doesn't matter.
Hey, moms. Does your partner just suck at taking photos so you don't have any pictures with your kids? Or if they do take your photo, you don't love them because they're blurry or the lighting's bad or it's just an awful angle? Well, you need to check out Famtography. Famtography will text your partner with a photo prompt and a bite-sized tutorial each week so they can learn and capture a candid photo with you and them in less than 5 minutes. Moms, you can get photos with your kids that you love without having to ask. I'll leave all the details in the show notes.
I think the purity around birth is really bizarre.
Yeah, purity. That's such a good word to describe that.
Because I had, and this is not, I mean, so I had my kid at, my water burst at, burst, that's too exciting. My water broke at 33 and 1, which is math that will make sense to any pregnant person and is illogical otherwise. And I gave birth at 33 and 3. So I was in labor for 2 days, I think. God, I don't remember where I was going with that. I know that we had... Oh, yeah, yeah,
the purity.
The purity aspect of the birth. So it was like I was in labor for 48 hours. And I had a nurse who did not believe that I was in labor.
Oh, and that's so fun.
I don't know what her deal was. I don't know what her issue was. But it was like I was telling her I was having contractions. And she was like, oh, is this your first time? Like, as though to imply I didn't know what a contraction felt like. So fine. Which then meant that I hit transition without anyone thinking that I was in active labor.
And wait, so what's transition?
Transition is the part where, like, the baby is literally coming down.
Oh, my God.
And so I was in the wrong room to give birth. So as I am transitioning, they had to, like, put me on a different, like, gurney and, like, wheel me to another room. It was a whole thing.
Zelda was born in the hallway of that hospital.
We made it to the other room, which is the bare minimum of the requirement. But, like, the main thing was that there was no time for anything. Like, I couldn't have an epidural. I couldn't have... I think, like, the OB was like, do you want a little fentanyl? And I was like, I feel like that's a big decision for me to make as I'm pushing. Probably, like, let's just get this done. But I did not feel empowered or pure or anything else from that choice, because it wasn't a choice either. And yet I got really weird reactions from people, which included, like, one medical professional who absolutely should have known better, who said good job at not, quote, taking the easy way out.
You mean, like, yeah, having an epidural is the easy way out?
Any form of intervention. And I remember actually as I was pushing, because the midwife, like, ran into the room because she, again, nobody told her I was giving birth. So she was super late. But she, like, bustled in. She's like, I hear you're doing this just on gas and air. Oh, that I did lie. I did have some gas, which was incredible.
There easy way out over here.
I'm sorry. It was the easy way out for me to have some gas as well. But yeah, she like raced into the room. She's like, I hear you're doing this on just gas and air. Good for you. And it's like your entire brain is on fire. Your body is screaming. And you're like, I'm not sure that I feel, one, like this was a good choice, or two, like this was a choice. But it was really, really weird. And it was in many ways, like, I think the very first thing I told everybody was, like, if you are at all on the fence, get an epidural.
Yes. Okay. Before I gave birth, I was like, oh, I'm just gonna, it'll be a game day decision. I'll see how the pain is. And if I could, you know, not have an epidural. The minute that pain came, hit me with it. And I am so team epidural now. Next, if we do have the next baby, I'd be like, nope, just put me in a room without that bathtub.
I was mad though, because I was not, like, so part of the thing of, and I don't know if this was the case for you as well, Sarah. I think it probably was. But, like, were you on, like, continuous monitor?
What's that?
And so it's literally just like they effectively just put, like, a belt around you that monitors the contractions and it monitors the heart rate.
Mine is more on the heart rate because I actually wasn't in labor.
Oh, okay. That makes... Well, and this was the weird thing, was that mine was not picking up my contractions, but hence the entire confusion. Mm. So, but yeah, like, it was... You can't get up and move. I did not get to get in a bathtub, which was the thing I was the most angry about, because I really would have liked that. And then later the nurse was like, oh yeah, we thought that, like, maybe if you moved around you'd have a prolapsed cord. And you're like, that feels like something you could have told me in the moment, because otherwise I was just, like, effectively for 2 days I was just strapped to a bed. And it was miserable. Mm-hmm. With an IV in as well.
Yeah.
And in what way is that, like, a fully natural birth anyway? And what is a natural mm-hmm. birth? Like, it's such a weird... It does feel like a form of purity, and it also feels like...
But it's like comparison... that badge of honor that, like, makes other people feel less than just because you were able to do that.
And the comparison that I heard somebody make, and I wish I could attribute this to whoever it was who actually did say it, but it's like, when people go in for surgery, you don't see men saying, like, oh, please don't give me any form of general anesthesia. I want to do this exactly like they would have done it on the battlefields in 1836.
That's so, like, true.
We only expect that of birth. That is, like, the only medical process that we expect to go with things. A lot of people have had traumatic births. Like, I think, you know, I don't want to preempt sort of Teresa's experience too much, but, like, I would say all three of us had birthing experiences that were not necessarily what we had in mm-hmm. mind.
Okay, I have yet to talk to a mom who's been like, my birth was exactly like it did not go according to plan. Everyone I've spoken to, I feel like, has had a traumatic birth experience.
Okay, so I am really naive. I didn't know all of those things were in a birth plan. I thought your birth plan was like, here's my Kumbaya playlist that I want. And
maybe it was different because you had twins, I'm gonna have though.
These essential oils. But, like, I didn't have... My birth plan was C-section, baby. Let's do it. Like, that, I guess, that for me was...
I think it's different because you had twins, though.
And yeah. It's
high risk to begin with.
But they did say I could try having a vaginal birth if I wanted. And I was like, nope. I just want it scheduled. My mom always, like... built up this thing about how she had my brother who's older than me. It was a traumatic thing. They had to do emergency C-section. So with me, it was scheduled. And she's like, yeah, I was just like checking into a hotel. You know, I went in with my hair was washed. And like, you know, an hour later I had to. I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds nice. I don't want to deal with contractions or any of that shit. Also, if it is high risk to do the vaginal and a baby's flipped, you have to do a C-section anyway. So I don't want to recover from two birthing canals. But yeah, mine still went off plan even with it being a C-section. So I don't know, like, I think it's smart to have the plan with, like, you know, for cases like Teresa. I don't know if you want to share your story, Teresa, but, like, well, I don't want to say it.
Well,
do you want to talk about it or
yeah, not? Sure, but that was not part of the plan, or, like, we didn't anticipate that part of the plan, so it really doesn't matter that I had the plan. So,
but didn't they, like, ask you for consent for something when you were, like, basically unconscious?
Yes. So, had the baby, and then I lost a lot of blood, and the reason was, like, tearing. I had I think it was third degree tear, but also they lost a cloth. It was like a real life Grey's Anatomy episode. They lost the cloth. They didn't know where it was, and they thought maybe it could have been still inside of me. So they had to open up the stitches to look for it. And then when they opened it up, they realized it's not in there, closed me up. But then I lost like half of my blood, so I needed blood transfusions. I think I had 2 or 3, but I had passed out at that point. I woke up to them giving me a pen saying, can you please sign this for the blood transfusion? Meanwhile, like, Jason's on the side looking terrified. And like,
rightfully so.
I didn't know what what it was. Like, at that point, I was like, why do I need a sign? Why do I need a consent? Is it safe for me? Like, even though they were, like, explaining it, I didn't really understand, and I just signed it, hoping for the best, and yeah.
So, Sarah, would that be in a birth plan?
I did.
Yeah. Well, if I need a blood transfusion, please don't wait for me to just maybe wake up. Just please go ahead and start doing that.
I feel like it could, if you wanted to be that proactive. Like, I think, and like, Jesus, that's awful. So wait, and I'm sorry to make you relive this again. Is it, like, quite literally, they caused the hemorrhage because they opened your stitches back
up? No, I don't think so. I think it was both the tearing. I think opening up the stitches didn't really, really
help.
Although when I asked them after, it was kind of like, let's avoid talking about that and let's talk about your path forward, you know?
Let's talk about let's not talk about how we made a mistake.
Yes, exactly.
Let's avoid some lawsuits here.
Yeah, we had the only part of it that, like, I probably could not. I mean, you can cover anything in a birth plan. I think that some of the criticism is definitely what you were talking about, Sarah, was just that bit about, like, I need to, like, have my exact playlist timed to my essential oils. That's for sure the stereotype. And I think it's also, are there people who do that? Of course.
I did have a playlist.
There are always going to be. Did not. Like, and I think that there are elements of that where, like, I think that there's two things. I think that there are the plans that you and your partner might make amongst yourselves. So it's like, playlist, am I going to, like, have a robe with me? What kind of snacks are we going to bring? That sort of stuff, like the prep work. And then there's the bit where it's quite literally just meant to be like, your midwife doesn't have to ask you. So it's like the vitamin K shots. And then I think they, like, put something in their eyes immediately after a vaginal birth. So there's things like that that they just want to get, like, a quick checkmark consent to. I love Zelda with all my heart. And if she's ever listening to this, nothing will ever change that. but she was a fucking brutal sleeper. And this will be controversial.
Sleep training?
Talk about sleep training.
We're going to talk about sleep training. Which is that we never did cry it out, which is not the same thing as sleep training. So we never like, and cry it out is
taking
literally.
Taking car babies?
I did not car babies. No, I did old school crunch free Ferber.
There is crying involved.
There is crying. There's always crying involved, Teresa. Yes. Mostly me. No, so like, we never did strict cry it out. Now, so what I'm going to say is, and I'm not going to get too deep into this at this stage, because I think no matter what I describe, there is going to be somebody who's like, no, it's cruel and fine.
But also, if someone did do cry it out, it's fine. Whatever, you do what you got to do.
Yeah. And this was the thing, was that I had pretty severe, like, postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety. I was not coping well. And because thanks to prematurity, we got an extra 2 months of the newborn phase. So officially you can do it at like 6 months, technically speaking, you're supposed to do it no earlier than 4 months. For us, that was 6 months adjusted. Mm-hmm. So we gave it 6 months of being up like every single hour. I think the longest stretch we ever got before we sleep trained was maybe 4 hours. And that felt like a fluke. And so we sleep trained. I won't go into the details right now. But the flip side was she took to it very well. So we had some regressions for sure. So that would be like, and that never meant that, like, she didn't wake up in the night. It also didn't mean that when she woke up in the night, we didn't go and comfort her or we didn't, like, go resettle her. But everything was going really well. And then we hit the 2 year sleep regression.
Oh, fuck. I don't want to hear this.
I'm sorry.
It's
coming for you. So the 2 year sleep regression is like, and I need to emphasize, and I'm not saying this to brag. We were getting her sleeping through the night. I would say if it was like out of 10 nights, 9 nights out of 10. And then it would be like, maybe sometimes she'd wake up. Once we took her out of a, we had her in a pack and play, and then we moved her to like her big girl bed. Once she figured out that she could get out of bed and like come into our room, that presented some issues. But it's also incredibly cute to have like a 2-year-old shuffling towards you in a sleep sack at like 2 a.m. Terrifying the first time and then cute the rest of the times. But at age 2, she was back to being up every 2 hours for 3 weeks.
Ooh.
And I felt like a zombie. Like, so we,
this is foreshadowing because every night we're like, it's been another one. Like, since before Christmas, they have not woken. Sorry, T, I'm saying it. T is Teresa. They've not woken. They don't wake up in the middle of the night. They just sleep right through.
That must be nice.
And, like, it's coming to bite me in the ass with this regression. I can feel it.
Okay, maybe I'll have the opposite experience. Maybe at 2, he's going to be like, we're good. I'm going to sleep through the night.